A podcast that shines a light on the positive, healthy, hopeful projects going on in Humboldt County. We'll talk about things that are happening to help everyone live a better life and what things you can do in your corner of the world. Look, we know about the problems. We talk about them, read about them in the news, and see it every day too. That's what drives us to want better and to be part of the good. My name is Juliette Ferry, and I will be your host of the Humboldt Healthcast, which is another community project of the Humboldt IPA here in Eureka. On our last episode, we talked about ways to make friends and build community. And today, we'll be talking with someone who is particularly good at both. Local artist, organizer, and party planner extraordinaire, Jenna Katsos. Jenna is one of the organizers of the Eureka Street Art Festival and Project Eureka, which is a community-driven, volunteer-powered effort dedicated to the visual improvement of Eureka. Jenna, thank you so much for making time to talk with us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. I've never been described as good at making friends. What a fun thing. I'll add it to my resume.
So when we had our pre-interview discussion, you were telling me about why this, how you started with this project. Could you just start us off with telling us a story about why this is important to you, both Project Eureka and the Street Art Festival?
Yeah. It's important to me for a lot of reasons, but what really was the energy behind starting Project Eureka was a road trip. My husband and I were up in Washington visiting family, and we're driving back to Humboldt, and we decided to take the scenic route along the coast, and so we jumped over onto the 101, and it meanders through all these little towns through Washington and Oregon, and then into California, and there's something interesting about cities and towns that have a major highway going through them. It's a challenge. It's not always the most beautiful aspect of the town, but it also can be a benefit because it brings a lot of people through the city that might otherwise not discover it. And it's something that Eureka has. We have the 101 going right through the heart of the city, and it's a challenge for sure. And so seeing all of these other cities and towns that have the same challenge and looking at what they were able to do with that was really inspiring. And I started thinking of lists, as I do. It's how my brain works best. And I came up with kind of 10 to 15 projects, just small projects that I thought would have a really big impact in the city. And so when I got back, I started emailing all of the people that I knew who make things happen and started talking to a few of them, got Alana Powell involved. She runs Humboldt Made and the Visitor Center and the Friday Night Market. And we started talking about what those projects would be and how we could implement them for Eureka. And so that was the birth of what we're now calling Project Eureka.
Great. You know, just having that inspiration from other areas and like, we could do that here. Like, there's no reason that we can't do that here. And then that's the power of, you know, small groups and small places is that you don't necessarily have to go through all this bureaucracy. You can just make these little changes. How did you settle on, because on the website, you can find the projects and we'll have resources at the end of the episode link, and then we'll give some shout outs. So on the website, there's a list of projects. How did you settle on those, just out of curiosity?
So we started off by choosing an area. And the hope with Project Eureka is that we'll keep it going and we will move it around. And so each year we will focus on kind of a different area of the city that needs a little bit of love and attention. And so we decided to start with the 101 corridor through downtown, because it already has so many things going for it. It has those lovely historical light poles. It has a lot of vibrant businesses. It has kind of a good city feel to it. It's not too sprawly, you know, things that are very hard to change. And so we decided to focus on that area. And then we came up with a list of the projects that we were excited about and met with the city. And that was how we kind of finalized the list. There were a couple things on the list that they were already planning on doing, which was great. And then there were a couple things on the list that just weren't going to work out for whatever reason. And then we ended up with a handful of projects that fit well within what they were focusing on and what we thought that we could handle and afford. And so that is how we came up with that first list of projects.
That's awesome. I also like on, I think it's your Instagram site, how you're just like promoting the businesses of like, look at this beautiful storefront and like, look at what it does for that feel. And so it's kind of like business of the month, which is like such a nice way to promote businesses. I'm sure they appreciate that as well.
Yeah. There's so many things that people are already doing really well. And I think that one of the important things, if you're gonna, you know, focus on making an area better, is that you shine a light on what's already really great. And there is a lot that's really great. And so that was one of our hopes as well.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's coaching. I'm a wellness coach. And that's how we work on with people. It's like, we already have so many strengths. We just need to focus on the strengths and use those strengths for the things that we're trying to work on. So it's like the same approach works for a community. What would you say that you've learned through this process? You know, maybe about yourself, about our area?
Yeah, the more that I do community work in these kinds of projects, the more I realize that I have to do a lot of self-care in order to be able to continue to show up. And so, and these last few months, especially so, like working through COVID and all of this and remembering to take care of myself and connect with the people who give me energy and, you know, make sure that I've slept enough so that I can actually show up and I don't burn out. And that's something I think about a lot because it's really hard work. And this is not how I'm earning my living. This is just something I'm doing on the side and I want to keep doing it. And I know the things that I might encounter that will keep me from doing it. And so really taking care of myself as much as possible and remembering that, you know, it's easy when you're thinking about the community and what we all need to do and what the community needs and what other people need. And you forget about yourself and your own needs. So focusing on that. Other things I've learned is just remembering that you have a great team with you and remembering to invite more people to get involved and making those opportunities. And I sometimes joke that most of my work is talking with other people about what they're doing. And you know, there's very little that I actually do. It's a lot of working with other people, talking with other people, checking in with other people and all of that. But just remembering that we are a really mighty bunch of people. There's a lot of folks doing this work and remembering to connect with them and communicate with them so you're not stepping on any toes and, you know, just kind of keeping that communication open.
Yeah, I love that whole thing about learning the self-care because really what you're selling an idea, you're selling you. You know, if you're coming across in a certain way, people are immediately going to be like, you know, I don't, even if they like the idea, it's really, you're the messenger of the idea. You're the salesperson. So mm-hmm. to take care of yourself, so then the message is clear and that you can really, you're selling excitement. You're selling love of community. That's kind of difficult at times, especially, you know, when you had said in our pre-interview of like, and that's the opener of this podcast is it is easy to, it's easy to hate, quite honestly, you know, for lack of a better word, it's easy to see the bad. And like, we understand that too. That's where we want to do this. And so if you're not taking care of yourself, I can imagine all the no's, you know, that's part of sales is getting through a lot of no's because that's one no closer to the yes. And so to feel just kind of like your bubbles have been popped at the end of the day. And so good for you for learning that lesson on self-care. And that the other part of that is that it completely blows me away that this is like all volunteer driven. This is not how you make, you're not making any money on this. This is just like, what drives your passion for having this be a volunteer project?
I guess there's kind of two parts to it. Is that I just see things and I want to make them happen. And that's kind of my passion behind all of these projects, is just things that I think are doable. You know, they're not super hard, and I'm excited to see them happen. And then why do I do it as a volunteer as opposed to paying myself? And it always comes down to, I mean, a lot of these things are 1, 2, 3 people operations. There's not a lot of folks. I do most of the fundraising, and to pay myself, I just have to fundraise more. And when that money's in our bank accounts, it's like, gosh, I mean, I could pay myself and what? Like I could buy something, or we could use this for the project. And it's always so much more beneficial to me to just roll the money back into the project. And, you know, I've got enough money. I'm okay. I want this money to go towards the community and these visible projects that I think are really improving things in Eureka.
That's beautiful. Have you heard, you know, what kind of things have you heard from people, you know, feedback from the projects that have happened?
Yeah. I hear a lot of people talking about things when I don't think they realize who's doing them or that it is me. And it does feel good to hear people saying like, wow, Eureka's looking really good lately. Or, you know, and of course it's not all me. Eureka is just looking really good lately. I think that there's a bit of like a contagious energy going on right now. And honestly, the biggest lovely thing that I can hear or see is other people doing similar projects. You know, my big message is that it's not that hard. It doesn't take that much expertise. It doesn't take that much money, and it doesn't take that much work. And I want to see other people doing similar things. And so when I see all these other little things popping up, that feels really excellent.
That's awesome. From the first time we spoke to now, it's like your enthusiasm is contagious. And I am coming. This is really embarrassing to admit, but like it's been a slow road for me to appreciate just art in general. My mind, I'm a science-based, like, what is the evidence? Recipes. I like things to be in order. That math, like, I like how there's just like a black and white finality to things. That is comforting to me. And it's really been a long road of like, it's necessary. You know, it really does just, you know, whether it's performing arts or, you know, you're listening to music, it's like, those are the things that stay with us forever. And to see things around town that, you know, oh, that's a new mural, or those boxes are painted different. Like, it's very enjoyable to drive by those, and it's such a little thing. So thank you. Thank you for making our world better and just a more beautiful place.
My pleasure. I think public art is so fun because they are little surprises. You know, you generally don't go out looking for them. You encounter them when you're just going about your day. And I think that that's why they're so powerful, is they surprise you, they delight you. And we're getting to the point in Eureka where we have so much public art that, you know, it's a reason to come out and walk around. That was our biggest reason to start it, is we really wanted to encourage people to explore more and to get out of their cars and to look around a little bit more. And I think we're really there, especially in some corridors of the city.
That's awesome. So that takes us into, you know, if you want to talk a little bit about the street art festival, let's start with that. And then we'll go into how people can get involved.
Great. Yeah. So the Eureka Street Art Festival, this is going to be our fourth year. So we started 4 years ago, and we started in Opera Alley in Eureka. And the reason was really to transform the alley, to give it a different feel. Alleys generally aren't a place where people want to spend time and to explore. And we wanted to change that narrative a bit and make it a art nook in the city, like a fun little exploration. And we have brought in tons of artists from around the world and from around the country and from around Humboldt County. And this year, I'm really excited because we're starting our mural apprentice program. And so now we're starting to think about how do we develop more local artists so that there are more people who can do this work? And how do we lift up our local arts community, especially after this challenging year that we've had? So we're really thinking about public art as a means of economic development and as a way to improve quality of life for residents. And this year we're focusing on the 101 corridor, which gets a ton of traffic. And so we're thinking about how do we use this public art for wayfinding for people who are traveling through? How do we get them to stop and spend some time in Eureka? And how do we get people to love this city as much as we do?
I love that. That is, how can people, you know, tell us how we can get involved? Because our last episode of the podcast was how to make friends. And so one of the things is like, you don't actually have to, like, the beach is always my favorite example of like, you can go to the beach and you're walking your dog and you don't have to talk with anyone, but you've already been part of this community of people who like walking their dogs at the beach. So it's the same of like, you know, you can go to the art festival and walk around and not talk to anyone, but still be in a community of art lovers. So how can people get involved?
Yeah. So the festival corridor is from A Street to I Street on 4th and 5th, which is the 101 going through downtown Eureka. And if people visit our website, which is eurekastreetartfestival.com, there is a map. There's also a map on our social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram, just Eureka Street Art Festival. And the best way to get out in is just to really explore it on your own. So grab that map. Check out the painting. People will be painting from August 5th to the 16th, but the real kind of festival days are the 7th to the 14th. And people can come out and just watch folks painting. One of the coolest things is that often this creation of art happens in a private space. So in studios, behind closed doors. And then when it's done, we bring it out, we hang it on a wall and we say, look at this, isn't it great? And the festival is really shining a light on the process. How are these pieces created? Watching someone paint something is just fascinating because you'd never guess what it's going to turn into or how they're going to get there. And everyone's using different processes and different materials, and it's really awesome. So you can come out and walk around on your own. We also have daily art tours that are happening Monday through Saturday during the festival. And we'll have a volunteer leading the art walk, talking about the different artists and the pieces. And that's a great way to kind of get a bit of a curated experience. But we also have signage. So you can come out and just read about the artists, read about the pieces. You can chat with them. You can chat with the other people out there. You can grab a bite to eat while you're out and just wander around downtown.
That's awesome. There's so many ways. Thank you for describing all those, because it's like, there's so many ways to get involved and, you know, watch the art, enjoy the art, you know, just get out, walk around, get something to eat, you know, just be part of the community.
Yeah. And I mean, these are huge pieces of work that are going up. They're massive. And I think one of the things people don't realize is just how physical it is to paint a piece this big. And so it's an interesting thing to watch, because as much as like a piece of artwork, it's almost a piece of engineering of getting it on the wall. And, you know, you most likely have, at least, so I'm painting this year. And so I've been going through the process of finishing my rendering, figuring it out. And now kind of how am I going to transfer it onto the wall? And just thinking about how big it's going to be is kind of blowing my mind. So it's an interesting thing to watch, especially if you've never seen these kind of large scale pieces of work created before.
I think of that all the time when I drive by murals, and it's just like, that's not sketching something out on paper and then you're bringing it up to size and coloring it in or painting it in, whatever. This is like a very big deal. I always just think about how does that even, it's amazing. That's another feat of it in itself.
Yeah. And we get to use fun tools and equipment and all sorts of stuff. It's a really great experience and it's really unique. Like you never think about how just being outside all day in the weather is exhausting. Standing all day is exhausting. And then it's like a marathon. It's like 13 days of painting.
Wow.
Nonstop. So I'm ready.
Sure. And there's, and just like, I don't know, just the emotion that goes, the passion that goes into your piece. And now there's people watching you. That's yeah. Pressure. That seems like a fair amount of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's funny. People speak very loudly. They say very personal things really loudly. So you have to just,
That's where the self-care comes in. So you can, you know, protect your heart.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned this a little bit, but just to touch on it again of like, what is it about Eureka that you, or the things about Eureka that you really love?
It's a great question. There's just an energy about Eureka that really isn't tied to like the physical infrastructure of the city that is really lovely. The people here, I think it attracts a certain caliber of person. There is like a ingenuity of Eurekans that I really love. And then when we're actually talking like physical spots, there's so many good things in Eureka. And it's this size of city that you feel like you know it really well. And at the same time, you get surprised and there are new things popping up all the time. I grew up in Massachusetts in a really rural area and then lived in Seattle before moving down here. And I was a little bit worried moving, you know, quote unquote, back to a small town, and was just so pleasantly surprised by Eureka and continue to be pleasantly surprised. And at this point, I have a community that I love here and an outlook. And I'm just very invested in it at this point. I want to see Eureka grow into the beautiful thing that I know it can be. And I surround myself with people who are also excited by that. And so I certainly do love it here.
That's awesome. That's so great. And it's just what you and I on the pre-interview call were just talking. It's just like everything about you just strikes me as this fable, like a folklore story, how someone's traveling through town and they stop to ask a farmer of like, what's the next town like? And the farmer says, well, what was the last town like? And the guy says, it was miserable. I couldn't stand any of it. Cheats. And, you know, I couldn't get any work. And so the farmer says, well, I'm sorry, the next town's going to be exactly the same way. And so the traveler says, oh, that's awful. So then a little bit later, same direction as the first guy, comes someone else. And same thing, he asks the farmer. And the farmer says, tell me what the last town was like. And it's the same town that the first traveler was coming from. And the guy says, it was wonderful. It was so beautiful. I loved everything about it. I'm really sad to leave it. And the farmer says, well, you're in luck. The next town is exactly the same. And it's like the two people are coming from the same direction, going to the same direction. And it's perspective and like everything about you. I have to imagine that like every place you go, you find the beauty in it, which is just a beautiful gift in itself of like seeing, having an eye for beauty and creating it. You're not just waiting for it. You're the cultivator of that.
Yeah. And it's a challenging balance to both love where you live and strive to make it better, you know, see things that could be better, but still understand that a lot is still very good. And, you know, that balance all the time. I think that we strive for that in ourselves too, you know, having confidence in yourself and knowing that you are wonderful, and still wanting to be a better person every day. And, you know, the same is true for Eureka and all of Humboldt. It's awesome here. And there are things that could be better.
Yeah, you're right. It's like there's plenty to love and that it's you're just trying to make it a little bit better, even though you still love it just the same.
Yeah.
We've touched on a lot of things. I like to ask this in these interviews, but in your opinion, what can one person do to improve their corner of the world? And you're a wonderful example of that, but what's something that you would say to that?
A bit of a strange answer, but I think that for me, something that really helped me get to know Eureka and get to really see it was walking a lot. And I just encourage everyone to walk more, you know, explore your community. If you're going somewhere for a reason, walk there if you can. It just introduces you to the place in a new way and a new pace. You meet other people who are walking. You know, you're never going to meet someone while you're zooming by them in your car. it creates a more intimate feeling with a place so that then you start to notice the things that could perhaps be done. And a lot of the projects that I work on, come about because someone will email me or bump into me and say, oh my gosh, have you seen this? We should work on that, you know? And so a lot of it's collaboration and things that other people are passionate about, things that I'm passionate about, and just really kind of getting out and seeing the things and start close to home. We are always working to like cultivate a very friendly and welcoming front of our house and front yard and garden. And we put up a little free library and just building community on kind of that small scale. And so I'd say start with your own space. If you're in an apartment, what can you do to make your window space that faces the street welcoming? Or if you have a home, what can you do to keep it looking lovely? And I think it's easy to go out and be like, oh, Eureka looks so bad. And it's like, well, start with your property and whatever you have control over directly, and then move out from there. And I find that if you're willing to help and do the work, there is a lot of work to be done. If you are willing to kind of roll up your sleeves and get started, people love that. What they don't love is just the griping. The griping won't get you anywhere. But I found that every time I email the city and say, hey, I've noticed this, what can I do to help? There is always a pleasant answer as opposed to like, this is bad and you should fix it. I really think that perspective of we are all part of the solution. Just because you don't work for whatever organization and just because you're not pulling a paycheck doesn't mean that you can't help make it better. And so just reach out, ask questions, let people know that you want to help. And there's always people who would love that help.
You're giving me chills, Jenna, with like how inspiring you are of like, that's such a beautiful answer of that we are all part of the solution. And if you're going to reach out, if you're taking the time to email someone and find their email address, and then all you're doing is griping, it's like you've just taken, 80% of the effort to get that person's attention. And then it's like, just toss them a few ideas. Like, here are some ideas I have on how we could go about this. Like, I am happy to be part of this work party. Like, just let me know. And so it's really, I just really love everything that you just said about getting out and walking. It's like, there's nothing better for our health than to just get out and walk. So that's good for our physical health. It's literally good for our mental health. And you're right. It is good for our spiritual health because we're never going to say hello to someone if we're zooming by on our car. It's like, you know what I mean? We're just getting a 5-second preview of somebody and making up some story in our head about them. But if we're walking by someone, then we can smile, say hello, nod, whatever we're going to do as acknowledgement. But gosh, that was just a beautiful summation to, walk around, talk to people, think about how you can participate. Because you're right, there is no shortage of things that we can do. We just need to kind of reframe our involvement, potential involvement in them.
Yeah. And I find that, you need to love a place before you want to put in the work to make it even better. And so, the first step for a lot of people might just be learning to love the place that they are and figuring out how to do that. And for me, walking has been a huge part of that, of really learning to love this place. And then the work isn't work. It feels, you know, it feels great. It feels like you're really kind of putting in the time with a friend instead of, you know, toiling away at these giant problems.
It's an investment. It's an investment in ourself and our community where we live. So it's like, we're just helping ourselves.
Yeah.
That's awesome. This was an amazing conversation, and I am going to be checking the Street Art Festival out for sure. And anything else that you would like to share with us before we part ways?
Folks can find Project Eureka also on all the social media things, and we have a website, projecteurekaca.com, if people want to get involved. And one of the things I'm working on is really creating more bite-sized volunteer opportunities for people, because I know that a lot of people, after working a 9-to-5, caring for their family, XYZ, they don't have time to go out and create their own opportunities. And so we've always got little things. And if you want to get involved, follow us on Instagram. I'm always sharing volunteer opportunities that I see or ones that we're creating. And so there's ways to get involved. And speaking of making friends, if you want to meet people, you know, an excellent way is a volunteer work day. There's no greater way to meet your neighbors than weeding next to them. So
that's great. Awesome. Thank you, Jenna, so much for your time. And thank you for just you and being part of our community and making our space just better.
My pleasure. I love to do it.
The Priority Care Center is located on Harrison Ave in Eureka, and we provide primary care, mental health counseling, care coordination, wellness coaching to people with the following insurance types: Anthem PPO, Blue Shield HMO, Anthem Blue Cross HMO, and Blue Lake Rancheria. Thank you for listening to Humboldt HealthCast, brought to you ad-free by the Humboldt Independent Practice Association. Our host is me, Juliet Ferry. Our editor is Joseph Burkett. Original music produced by Justin Locke. Our producers are Irina Estes, Jessica Osborne Staffness, Vanessa Verdiak, and Robin Baker. Special thanks to Rosemary Denouden for making this project possible. Please share, subscribe, like, and comment. We are always looking to improve and welcome your feedback. You can find us on Facebook on the Priority Care Center page and on Instagram at PCC School-Based Health Center. Be part of the good, Humboldt.